Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go racing here at Knoxville.
Only the best go three of
it is showtime at Williams Grove Speedway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime.
You come for a rip, often imitated, never duplicated, the greatest show on dirt, the world of outlaws.
It's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy, because ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime!
Set to do battle for 30 laps, the green flag is waving.
Hello again. It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. Talking sprint car racing, our favorite time of the week, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Steve Post and Aaron Evernham here in our Concord, North Carolina studios. Happy Halloween.
Yes, you see that?
Absolutely.
Well, I am going to a second grade school party after this.
Oh, my gosh. You are all wound up.
I made the mummy juice boxes, and I'm bringing the pirate's booty.
Pirate's booty. Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. I think there was some pirate's booty in a big thermos up at Millbridge at the after party last night. I think they were calling it Pirate's Booty or something like that. Yeah, I don't know about that. The after party. Oh, boy. You're going to that. I'm going to the place your mama warned you about.
Really? Tonight?
Yes, 410 Sprint Cars. They have a prelude to the world finals.
And gotcha. Oh, yeah.
They tried to do this a couple of times, and they've listed 9 or 10 sprint cars are going to be there. Sunshine's going to be there, and Hunter Schoenberg. Yeah. There's some good cars going to be there. So, hey, if there's sprint cars, there's me, you know? I mean, and you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong going to the place your mama warned you about on Halloween.
Yeah, and you get to go by the big peach butt.
And the big peach butt, exactly. So it's all good. Life is good. So how is Halloween around the Evernham? Is it family? Is it good? Is Kate, I'm sure, is just...
Oh, yeah. She's got like 72 costumes, and we spent the weekend glamping. We have a bunch of property in Wilkesboro, so
you went glamping.
It was about 10 motorhomes and, razors and UTVs flying around the field. There was no broken bones this year, though, so it was an improvement from last year. We're finding the improvements.
Yeah, we're pulling forward. Yes, exactly. On the topic of Halloweening and trick-or-treating, we had Dominic Selzy on yesterday on our TV show. We recorded it yesterday, and, of course, he's the International House of Women. And so he was trying to find a Disney character that had a beard and a beer belly. And then he thought, well, maybe he'll just go as Danny Smith for yes, exactly. So, cause after Danny threw him under the bus on our show, Dominic, I can't imagine Dominic Selzy. Now that's all about Halloween. I mean, he is all in, I am sure. Yeah. We used to do a lot of stuff like that. Now that the girls are gone, the last time our neighborhood, like the neighborhood at one time, it was like you would sit there and cars were pulling up, dropping kids off. And you're like, oh my God, we're going to run out of stuff here. And then the last time, and this was probably 3 or 4 years ago, I had like 2 kids show up. And then, like, the last couple of years, it's been on the weekend, so I've been on the road, and so tonight, I'm not going to be around to see what it's
like. Oh, you're going to be one of them with the lights off?
The lights are off. Well, I'm going to the place your mama worked.
Are you
going to
put a bucket out?
No, because we got...
You're that guy in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, that guy that kills all the cats in the neighborhoods, because the cats will get into the candy.
Oh,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Cats won't get into
yes,
the candy.
Yes, they... Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, so one, I'm going to call Steve a Scrooge, even though it's not Christmas. Exactly. Halloween Scrooge.
Well, no, we can't talk about Christmas, Gregor. We can't talk about Christmas.
No,
pretty soon, we're close.
Yes, exactly.
Two, I agree with not putting out the bucket, because we did that 1 year. I was gone for 2 minutes, realistically. The bucket was... I mean, they had stolen the bucket.
The kids. The kids will steal the bucket.
It was all gone.
Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. The kids will steal
the
bucket.
Do you have the Ring doorbell? That's what you need. You need to be able to catch the kids.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to the place. Well,
what are you going to do if you get them on, what are you going to do?
Jump out of the bushes and scare the bejesus out.
What are you gonna, yeah, exactly.
Go get them, Aaron.
Call Beat
the
them
police.
Up.
Call the police on
Beat
Halloween because kids took candy.
Trip them.
I'm calling to file a police report. Kids took candy on this Halloween night.
How dare that?
Or just don't leave anything for the poor little kids in the neighborhood.
Leave anything for the poor
little
kids.
There's two little, you know, 2 and 3 year olds that struggle all the way up the walkway, and then there's nothing.
Well, I'll bet the Evernham household.
The light's not.
It's got that light.
Well, if the kids aren't smart enough to realize that the lights are not on, then they need to exercise up and down the driveway.
Wow.
So there you go. Exactly.
Wow.
So yeah.
All right.
So there's how. That's how. That's how that's going. Were you part of us when we did the thing at the Brick House?
Yes, but I did not make shindig, but I have heard stories.
We did, yes. Oh, dear God, yes. We used to do a pre-party, and 1 year it fell on Halloween.
Mm.
Oh, boy. That was a mess.
And Kendra was involved.
Kendra was involved. Yeah. Yes, exactly. We pulled the plug on Tim Schaefer going on the show because he was at 45 degrees in complete Aliquippa. He was all Aliquippa.
Oh, that's when he's at his best.
Well, yes, exactly, except for this is... We are not necessarily a family show, but we don't need to be the opposite side of that either. So
we had to do that to a driver one time at Knoxville.
We had to do that to Paul McMahon one time.
I wasn't going to mention any names.
I wasn't going to mention names.
Yeah, you go right ahead.
There's been a few that we should maybe have considered.
Considered, yes. Yeah, well, there's been one of our co-hosts that we should have considered, too. Yes, exactly, but that's Ashley. And
that's not me.
No, it's not you. No, it was Ashley with her...
Lemmies.
Vodka Lemmies.
But you were supplying the Lemmies, if I remember.
Well, she might have been. Yeah, she was making the snowballs.
And I was in perfect shape.
Yes, Ashley was throwing the snowballs. Good times, yes.
It was the Iowa Beer Bus's fault.
The Iowa Beer Bus's
fault.
They
had the Lemmies.
The Iowa Beer Bus's fault, yes, exactly. Let's get into our Hefter Racing product, Hot Topics. A couple of races. We're getting down there, though. The NARC King of the West Series. It was at the dirt track at Kern County Raceway Park in Bakersfield, California. And... Aaron Corey Day continues to rack him up.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. That's his 15th career NARC win, his 9th NARC win of the season, and ties Tyler Walker's modern-day record from 2009. His 10th overall win this season in a 410, plus he has three 360 wins.
Yep, podium was Corey Day, Buddy Kofoid, and Chase Johnson. One more race, the Gary Patterson tribute race. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. But Corey Day is in pretty good shape on the point championship. Over at Bridgeport, this was a wild race. Wild race. Sprint-toberfest at Bridgeport. It was a flag-to-flag win for Kyle Reinhart, but I am telling you what, he had to work about every set of corners with lap traffic and Justin Peck and everyone else. Kyle Reinhart got the lead, led it flag-to-flag, but puts a bow around it. He's probably not done yet, but he's had a pretty good season with 3 wins so far this year.
He has. I was going back looking through stats. I forget. I think you had it written down how many podiums he had this year, but it was pretty impressive.
It really is. You know, he's got 3 wins, but he's got 13 top 5 finishes.
And they're with high limits, all-stars.
Right.
And
so we're going to talk to Kyle because I'm curious from where I'm sitting. There's a sense of optimism for what things are. If he can continue it on during the offseason, I'll be anxious to see where he's at with that. And finally, in Moxley, Alabama, the Deep South Speedway, the ASCS Hurricane Area, one youngster by the name of Sammy Swindell picked up the win, and it was his 5th win of the year.
Still winning.
Still winning. And so we are going to talk to one youngster, Sammy Swindell, a little bit later on. So Kyle Reinhart and Sammy Swindell are our guests. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It'll be good times. That's for sure. So there you have it. Our Hefter Racing product Hot Topics. The absolute number one pit utility vehicle in sprint car and midget racing is a custom mule conversion from HRP. It starts with a solid platform, dependable, great-looking Kawasaki mule, and it's customized and built to each customer's specifications.
There's options like generator, air compressor, shock and radius rod racks, amazing toolboxes and drawers, LED lighting, walk-on roofs, and more. HRP mule conversions perform, outlast, and maintain their value better than any other utility vehicle. HRP Mules, raising the standard again in pit utility vehicles.
www.hrpracing.com. That's hrpracing.com. The Sage Fruit Hotline is going to get busy next. Kyle Reinhart, he joins us after these words.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanic Bird's Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
I remember years ago, I used to go to Bridgeport, the big old 5/8 mile track, and it was impressive. But it was huge.
Yes.
And I remember I watched one 358 modified race, and I'm like, it's just amazing to me that the parts aren't flying out of these engines all
running,
the way around.
Yeah, I ran with the Outlaws there, and it's
you ran with the Outlaws there,
It honestly felt like the biggest track we ran on. It was, you know, you get so spread out, and you would do those big Euclid tires, and they were scary. The speeds were pretty incredible.
Yeah, they've changed it now, and they've shortened it up, they've banked it up, and it's spectacular
racy.
In a total different way. And a guy that really gets around there well picked up the $15,000 win on Saturday night, joins us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Kyle Reinhart joins us. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Thanks for asking me to come on the show.
Yeah. Hey, by any chance, did you ever run the big Bridgeport?
I did. And Aaron's not wrong. It was the fastest that I think anybody goes in a sprint car ever. It was huge.
Amazing. Yeah. It really was. It was not the fat. Well, it was pretty juiced up, that's for sure. But my gosh, you had lap traffic and cars inside and out. The stats will say you led the thing flag to flag, but I don't know many guys that have had to work harder for a flag to flag win than you did.
Right. Yeah. The track is a great track now. I mean, Doug's done a lot of work there, and you know, it makes it really exciting. Like you said, even though it was a flag-to-flag win, it was still edge of your seat the whole time. There's really, I don't really know of anywhere else that you catch lap traffic that quick and that aggressively. And, you know, there's nothing that the lap cars did wrong. They're running their own race, and we're just catching them so fast, and it just made things pretty hairy.
Kyle, it seems like the new configuration, I mean, obviously a lot smaller and racier, but the banking, I love the way it looks when you watch a race there. It's like progressive. The tracks seem to stay fairly heavy, but yet with it being so banked, it made it really racy. It was almost two lanes, and thank goodness for that, for you being the leader in all that lap traffic. But it still seemed pretty fast, like pretty wide open.
Yeah, that's what we talk about that a lot. I mean, you know, even later in the feature, it was getting pretty slick and pretty dirty, but it just doesn't slow down. You know, like, I mean, I'm sure the lap times slow down a little bit, but it doesn't feel like it slows down. You're still just absolutely on the hammer and just, like you said, just climbing the banking, and it just makes everything so aggressive.
I was reading some Jeremy Elliott stuff here as we're preparing for this interview, and you, of course, got the win on Saturday night, but you really have had a pretty good handle on this place. I think a fifth-place finish, a couple of runner-up finishes. You really seem to have your arms around this place. Has to be good to go to a place like that where you know you've got a pretty good baseline, pretty good handle on it.
Yeah, there's a couple places that, for some reason, we roll out of the box, and we're just fast right away. And it's funny because everybody, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're from New Jersey, you race there a lot, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I you know, it's funny because I haven't raced there any more than anybody else. You know, they just built the place as far as the new configuration. And there's only 3-4 10 races a year, 2 or 3 a year. So it's like, we've only got a couple, and I think that evens the playing field a little bit. You know, you come to Central Pennsylvania where guys have hundreds of races, and that, like Bridgeport, there's nobody has any more races than anybody else. There's only been, I don't know what the number is, 15 410 races over the last couple of years. So I think that helps us a bit. And then just being in New Jersey just kind of makes me a lot more confident. And, you know, I roll in there and I want to do good for my friends and family and stuff. And, so yeah, it's been exciting and we've had a lot of good runs. Honestly, I think we had a shot to win the All-Star show. I kind of got crossed up and went from like second or third back to sixth and got back to second and, same, you know, high limit show. We weren't good enough to win, but we were racing for a podium and it feels really good just to roll out there and know we're going to be quick all the time.
Yeah, you made a really solid point about how, you know, it isn't even playing field. It isn't like some of Williams Grove or Port Royal where some of these guys have a million races on them. Kyle, what was it like to win such a big race in your home state? You mentioned friends and family there. Just talk about how special it was. I saw a Victory Lane photo and it looked like there was 30 people in the photo, so I knew you had a good crowd there for you.
Yeah, I think, ever since I started racing like 410s for Scott McLaren in the 21 car, it's always been like a huge goal of mine to win in New Jersey. Like I said, there's only a couple races a year, so it makes it that much harder to get it done. And, we've won a couple All-Star shows, won some 410 shows in Pennsylvania, and that one just, obviously that was the highest paying race I've ever won, but even regardless of the money, like it was just the most special win I've ever had because there were so many people there and I've had wins, but none of my family's been there, like out in Ohio for the All-Star win. You know, it's cool. They say congratulations on the phone, but everyone being there in person really just changes the whole dynamic of it.
I am sure that is really, really neat. When we look at your season, you talk about the wins. You won at BAPS in June. You won an All-Star race at Fremont. You have 13 top five finishes. You've been so good across the board. Kind of assess your thoughts on how your season has been.
Yeah, I think, this season definitely is my best 410 season to date. We started off, we ended last year a lot stronger than I had been running all season. And I was really happy to carry that into the start of this year. Which is, not always the easiest thing to do. There's a lot of off time and you're changing stuff up. And so just to kind of roll out, we had speed early. We weren't winning races yet, but we were right there contending, and I could just feel myself driving better. I was more confident behind the wheel and my car felt better and kind of just was slowly chipping away at it. And then, got that win at BAPS in June. And right about that time, right shortly after that, Chris Shuttlesworth came on board with me as a crew chief. Because before that, I was just doing it all myself, and which is totally hard to do and not the easiest thing. But Chris came on board and kind of just elevated our whole deal. He kind of just took what I was doing and went the next step and got me more confident behind the wheel and just I didn't have to worry about what to do to the car during the night and your headspace is just totally different when you're just focused on racing. I still feel the motor and stuff like that, but when you're just focused on the racing aspect and you roll out on the track and you have confidence in your guy that he gives you the best car, and it just changes everything.
Yeah, I can imagine. And we hear that across the board when we talk to everybody else. You spent a couple of years on the All-Star Tour and had some success. And as every driver that goes out and does one of the tours, whether it's All-Star or World of Outlaws or whatever it is, you also get your teeth kicked in and you're in hotel parking lots and Walmart parking lots wondering what in the wide world of sports you're doing. As you look at it now, you went to a more open schedule this year. How did that touring and traveling, though, and that experience help you as you picked your way through the 2023 season?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely huge to go out and do that. I think we were a little bit unprepared to do that, but it was like, you have the opportunity to do it. You can't say no. And like you said, you go out there and you kind of just get beat up. You just get beat up night after night. And I think between, just we had good equipment, but it was just, the people and getting crew and for a while it was towards the end, it was just me and one other guy. And you know, you're racing against teams that have four full-time employees, and you know, the fans and the grandstands don't see that aspect of it, and it changes things. It changes things a lot when you're, you know, working on the car all day in the parking lot when it's 95 degrees, and then you have to drive the truck to the track, and then try and focus on racing. It just changes everything, and I'm glad we did it because it was a great experience. But I think coming off the road this year, you know, I lost some of my funding and resources with our partner that allowed us to do the All-Stars. But, you know, I kind of just wanted to focus on doing what we could do at the level that we could do it. And, you know, it's worked out. I think this is really the first season that over the last 4 or 5 years that I don't feel like we're facing an uphill battle every night. You know, we go out and we have two good engines now. And, you know, obviously we have good cars. You know, we don't have the amount of some of the big teams, but we have two good cars and, you know, we go out and I just, like I said, I don't feel like I'm on an uphill battle every night. And, you know, when you can win, you go out and win and, you know, you race your hardest, but there's times that, you know, okay, we have a seventh place car, sixth place car. I have to race like that because I don't have an unlimited checkbook here to keep buying cars and stuff. So that just changes the dynamic that a lot of people don't see in the grandstand.
Kyle, adding on to that, I want to talk a little bit more about confidence and momentum. You know, coming off the road with those guys, having an open schedule, working with Chris Shuttlesworth, not having to make all the adjustments on the car, and then having top fives, top threes. Talk about how your confidence as a driver has changed through this time.
Yeah, I mean, I've always known that, you know, we were capable of winning races, but it was like, if it happened, it was a far shot. And, you know, honestly, even like those last 2 or 3 years, we weren't running up front all the time. So when you are up front, you're driving harder because you want to win because now you have a shot to win, right? So you're driving harder and you're pushing the envelope further and you make more mistakes. You know, there's been a handful of times over the last couple of years that, you know, we were up front and probably had a shot to win and I was just over driving and made a mistake, a fatal mistake that crashed us out or I spun out or whatever. And, you know, when now you're racing better, more often up front, more often have a better car underneath you, you're more comfortable. It just changes everything. Like I don't feel like I have to overdrive. I'm so confident on where I want to be on the track. You know, the pace I want to set, the pace I want to be behind other cars. And you know, like Baps a couple of weeks ago was a perfect example. We were running second and, you know, I had a better car. Like I knew I had a better car and I was just waiting for the right time to make that move instead of overdriving and just crashing him or myself or whatever. And, you know, obviously it didn't work out. We got crashed from behind and didn't win the race, but, that's just kind of a baseline for every race we've been in so far. I feel better and it changes everything.
That is awesome. So good to hear. That is for sure. I think, you know, I don't know if you're coming to World Finals. I know there's one more race at Babs. Have you looked at next year? Do you have things in place? How confident do you feel you can ride this momentum during the off season? Where are you at for that as you move forward, Kyle?
Yeah, so we're actually not going to race the World Finals. That was kind of one of the races that I had penciled in on my schedule and you know, just trying to run the team financially as best I can. I decided to not go down there, focus on Bridgeport, focus on Babs. You know, there's two really high-paying shows within 2 hours of the shop here. So we're just going to focus on them and then kind of get into the off-season, start getting stuff prepped and kind of get ready for next year. There's a lot of question marks, obviously. You know, I'm still talking to the 45 car and trying to see where things shake out with them and schedules and stuff. And that's really the bottom line is we're all just waiting to see, you know, what happens with the high limit deal and the Outlaws. And you know, that's kind of, I think a lot of us think we know what's going to happen, but until it's out on paper, no one really knows. So it's kind of hard to make a plan without that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Stay tuned on that. A lot of there's a lot more unanswered questions than answered questions for sure. Kyle, I always love when we get a chance to catch up, and love that you picked up that win Saturday night at Bridgeport. Congratulations on that, and thanks for joining us here on Wing Nation.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for having me on the show. Just want to give a shout out to everybody that helps me get up and down the road with Capital Renegade, Henry's Record Service, Coors Banquet Beer. And, all my guys, Chris, my brother David, Lawton, Kent, Mike, Wayne, Quackenbush, all those guys behind the scenes of 91 Car really make it happen. So, thank you.
You got it. No, I'm glad you got a chance to mention them. That's for sure. It takes a lot of people, that is for sure. That is Kyle Reinhart joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Stay with us when we come back. Sammy Swindell, he joins us next.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's newest exhibit will be our track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway inside the museum's main floor from April 3rd through October 2nd this year. You'll learn about the beginning of Williams Grove Speedway and the evolution of sprint car racing on the East Coast through eight of the iconic big cars and sprint cars that made up the history of Mechanic Bird's Pennsylvania's Williams Grove Speedway. Plus, you'll see videos of historic National Open sprint car races and other racing events that put Williams Grove on the map. That's the track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway, featured April 3rd through October 2nd at the only museum in the world solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
There are some things in sprint car racing that are just amazing. And we're getting ready to be joined by one of those things, one of those individuals. Saturday night in Moxley, Alabama, at the Deep South Speedway, it was Sammy Swindell picking up a win, his fifth win of the season. It was in the ASCS, one of the regional tours down there. And Sammy joins us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Hello, Sammy. Welcome back to Wing Nation.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be here.
Great to catch up with you. You were driving for one of my buddies, Dale Howard, down there. Describe how your race went, how your evening went, getting to Victory Lane down there at Deep South.
Well, it went pretty good. We ran the car on Friday night, but on the draw deal, I started in the back and moved up a ways, but I still had to start like 11th, and I did get up to at one point third, but then we had a little bit of an issue with the motor, and I fell back to fourth and finished there. So we kind of tweaked on it a little bit, did a few things, and it was definitely a lot better. So came back the next night, had to start fourth, and the car started behind, didn't get going. So I fell back to about fourth or fifth or whatever it was, and then worked my way back up to second. So that part started to be sixth, and we got a great start. Passed a couple cars in the first corner, and it didn't seem like it took too long, but we had a bunch of yellows, and there was a bunch of times I passed a guy running second quite a few times. I passed a guy leading it a couple times, but then they had a red, and then after that it went the rest of the way, so we just kind of pulled away and had, I don't know, I think maybe about a half a lap lead on the guy that ran second. So it all went pretty good. I mean, the car was really nice. Especially there in the last race, it was the best it had been all week. So kept making the right decisions and the right changes. All that stuff just makes it a lot easier when you've got a car that can do all the things you want to do. So all I had to do was just steer it in the right direction.
Sammy, how fun is it for you to go to race on your own terms like this, but go to a track? I had never really heard of it, but I watched the whole race video. It seemed like your car was really good, and obviously you knew where to put it. But how fun is it for you to, like I said, race on your own terms and get to race with some of these guys up and coming and different smaller tracks? How fun is this part of your career?
Well, I mean, you know, it's been good. I mean, you got to look at it, you know, maybe two ways. It's like, you know, you jump into something that I've run just a couple of times and you try to get the best out of it, you know, and I've done that a few times this year, just go drive for different people. And then you have to learn the cars, learn what they've got and try to get the best out of it. So, you know, I've been able to do that several times and get some wins, you know, even though we've had a limited schedule. And that part's great, you know, being able to do that and then, you know, put my years of experience together and go out and win a few races. I mean, we were close on some other ones that we didn't, you know, working with different people, it's different than if you had the same car you run all year or you ran for people for years. You kind of get into a rhythm with everybody and you kind of get things the way you want it. And so this is a little more of a challenge in a certain way, but it's more gratifying when you do, you know, make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see where you're at with that as far as that goes. It's what you're doing now. Would you like to be racing more, or are you pretty content with where you're at with this? Where are you at on that spectrum, Sammy?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. It's you could say, well, it would be nice if I could, you know, have something where I could run maybe 20 times or something, 25 times a year, maybe. And that's really good, and be able to go wherever we wanted to go and compete, you know, and be a contender every time for a win. You know, if you put that in play the first year and you're able to do it all with the same team and it's definitely capable, you know, I think it would be more fun, but in a sense that, you know, maybe we might could come in and win 10 or 12 of the races, you know. So, you know, but I don't know. It's just I'm to that point where I don't know when something's going to give out or something's going to, you know, not feel as good or don't have a desire or whatever. People always say, well, when are you going to quit? What are you going to do? I don't know. It's when I get to that point, I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll know
and
when
I
you
hope
know.
It's the right time.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun to follow you, Sammy, on social media and friends on Facebook. You know, from the intensity we saw from your career all those years running with the Outlaws, it's neat to see you enjoying boat life and going to basketball games and enjoying your granddaughter. What has that been like for you to slow down a little bit from the intensity you've always had and enjoy some of the other things in life?
Well, you know, that's definitely nice and different. To be able to do, you know, some of the things that I've never had time to really do, or, you know, when you're doing 100 nights a year or more, it doesn't leave you much time to do anything else. So it's other than travel the country and see some places during the middle of the week. But, you know, it's different, you know, I'm enjoying it. I mean, the part that kind of drives me a little crazy is not knowing really what's going on, you know, the next deal or the next week or whatever, you know. So it's like I want to be prepared and ready, and this way you just kind of wing it, and it's different for me. So it's not that but I don't want to do, you know, like a full schedule or something somewhere and do a lot of racing. You know, I don't have that desire anymore, but you know, what I've been doing has been fun, and it gives me a lot of time to do all those other things. And you know, I'm kind of hoping I can do some more too. So, but I've been doing a little bit with some people coming and helping them, mm-hmm. and you know, there again, that's different, but, when you go out and go down and help someone, and and you just like are able to see so many things on their car that could be better and change it, and they come back and they're smiling, and they're just like, I've never felt a car like this. You know, it's like, well, at least I feel like I, could add something to that program too. But I was helping John Robichek down there this weekend, and he had moved forward. He said, because he ran his car, he got there a little bit late, and so did I. But I didn't have a lot of time to go over it. The next day, we had an hour or two, and made some big changes, and he was real happy with that. So it's just giving back to some of the things that I've learned to other people, and maybe they can have a good time out there driving these sprint cars and stuff. And the biggest part, just being able to spend time with my granddaughter too. And we've got another trip planned this year already before the end of the year, and some stuff for the next year. So look forward to doing that. And as far as what I'm doing next year right now, I don't have a clue.
Where is your favorite fishing spot? What I'm curious about this. We talk all the time about sprint cars, and we'll get back to that a little bit. But if you get one place to go fishing and one style of fishing, what does Sammy Swindell like to go fishing for the most?
Well, I go down to the Griffin Fishing Charters down there in Louisiana, just southeast of New Orleans. And been going down there and catching a lot of redfish. And this year they started getting where they can catch gators. So I'm ready to give that a try.
Oh, my.
And we have a good time down there. They've got a lodge and everything to take care of us. I mean, you go there and just stay there. They feed you and you fish. So it's like you can't beat it.
You're fishing for gators? You're not wrestling gators. You're fishing for gators, right?
Well, I mean, I haven't done it yet, but they just started doing it this year. I haven't had a chance to go down there this year. So, but it's like, I don't know. It might have to be a small one for me to wrestle it.
My gosh, I love it. I think it's fascinating. It really is. Sammy, your perspective, I'm curious about your perspective. We are in a situation, we've got a lot of uncertainty in sprint car racing going forward with High Limits and World of Outlaws. So many people in the sport don't realize that this is not the first time, and it probably won't be the last time, that someone has tried to do something other than the World of Outlaws. Have you got a sense, or even just the historical perspective of when this was tried before, just what's your take on where we're at now with the uncharted uncertainty that we have going forward? Or aren't you in the middle of it all and don't follow any of it at all? Where are you at with that?
Well, I haven't really kept up with what, I've seen where they bought the All-Stars, and, depending on what they try to do there, I mean, I haven't seen anything or heard anything about a schedule or what they're looking at, or if they've got big sponsors to back the series, just what. But I've kind of been through it before, and it just depends. It's whoever gets the big, the racetracks and or the one that's going to have it at the end. It's got the places to where you can race, to where you can have big events. But I don't really know, what they're looking at. So I don't, I don't know what, really what to say too much other than, good luck to them and hope it's good for the whole sport and everybody works together. It's been times when it's, they need some different types of series, I guess, but what I'd really like to see is if they were all just like it used to be, where you got a sprint car, you could race it, so be competitive. But this broke down into so many different type, like a 410 car, 360 car, 305 car, and you know, you really can almost race one somewhere else. So it's that. That's the scene that I see from growing up. You know, if there was a sprint car race, we could go to it. You know, they said, come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it opened up a lot of areas, but it's kind of got, you know, there's different things. And I see that part too, but it's, you know, it's always like one series different from the other, or not as much as the other. People look at it that way, or it doesn't have the, you know, it doesn't go all over the country. It just stays in an area. So, you know, there's a place for everybody, but they just need to make sure they all kind of work together.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And that's a tough, and I appreciate that. It's a tough question because we don't have many answers. We have way more questions than we have answers on it. But guys like you that have been around the sport for a little bit, you've been through it before. And I do like, you sound like a guy named Fred Raymer when we talk about 360s and 358s mm-hmm. and 305s and everything. You used to just have a sprint car and go race it. And I've had a lot of conversations with Fred about that as well. So always appreciate it. Really do appreciate your perspective on that.
Yeah, well, you know, you can see it, but, you know, at first I think it kind of, some people that come new into the sport, well, they see, it's on TV and it's a big deal. Well, then they go to some local track and it's like, well, this isn't the same thing. And I think that's where it gets hurt a little bit. It's just with the new people, the people that know what's going on, know where to go or what they want to do. So it's fine. But as far as trying to bring new people in, you know, there's a little bit of an education process there as to what the one you see down here is might be a little bit different than the one you see over there.
Yeah. That's accurate. That really is. Sammy, congratulations. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot all about this. Now you're running Riverside this weekend with a special paint scheme. What do you got going on at Riverside this weekend?
Well, it's just one of my older cars. It looks sort of like one of my older cars.
Okay. Just looks like one of the channel lock car, actually, the paint scheme on it and everything there at Riverside.
Well, so you can go to my Facebook page at Sammy Swindell Racing and you can see it.
Yes, absolutely. There are people watching this via video, and Craig had a picture of it. And those listening on the audio, go to Sammy Swindell's Facebook page and see a picture of it. Sammy, it is always a pleasure to chat with you, to catch up with you. Glad you're still winning races, and wish you the best. Maybe you can grab another one there at Riverside on Saturday night.
Yeah. I hope so. It's, you know, me and Eddie Gallagher are going to wrestle for the belt, so... we'll see how it ends up.
There you go.
I was trying to get them to make it a loser leave town match, but I don't know. I didn't get it done, but maybe it will be, but we'll see.
That's awesome.
We'll see. But, you know, we're both starting last on the back row. So it's, I watched some of the races over there this year. It's going to be tough and there's a lot of guys coming in. So, if we make it to the front, we're going to earn it.
Wow. So they've got you starting in the back. That's going to be entertaining. That's for sure. Well, Sammy.
Yeah, I never drove with 305 either. So I'm a little bit behind all these other guys.
Well, I have a hunch.
In two ways.
Yeah. Behind in the starting spot and behind with your 305 savvy. So I have a hunch you'll figure it out quickly. That's mm-hmm. for sure. Sammy, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on Wing Nation.
You're welcome.
There we go. He is still winning. That is Sammy Swindell joining us on the Sage Fruit Hotline. Stay with us. More Wing Nation in just a moment.
Perfection isn't easily achieved. It takes hard work, dedication, and perseverance. Through their commitment to excellence, Sage Fruit Company has been supplying customers with the best tree fruit in the Pacific Northwest for over three generations. They work hard on the farm, in the packing facilities, and with their retail partners to provide consistent, high-quality apples and pears all year long. Look for Sage Fruit at your local grocer.
It is Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit. And we continue on.
I know.
It is that time. It is that time for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame birthday calendar, except for one thing. The guy who does the notes, me.
I was like, wow, there's no birthday.
There's no birthday.
Nobody, nothing. It's empty. Nothing.
It's empty.
You get no birthday wishes
this
week.
I am sure somebody has a birthday this week. So anybody within the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, happy birthday. Now, they are doing, some days I'm an idiot, okay? I looked at this list just when we come out of the break. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Who did that?
Who did? Well, I know who did it. He's a guy perfectly capable of jacking up a whole bunch of things. That's what happens when you get all stoked up about going to the place your mama warned you about. Things start slipping through the cracks because you're all pumped up.
Yep.
Sprint Car Hall of Fame, they have their 15th Sprint Car Sweepstakes. It's a triple X chassis, Al Parker engines car. It's going to be given away December of next year. They do it about a year and a half.
So almost a two-year cycle.
Almost a two-year cycle. And it's going to be awesome. So you can get that race car. And that race car will be on display this weekend at the World Finals.
Oh, yeah. And they'll be selling raffle tickets there. Always are.
So
yep.
Get that. Exactly. So go get it. SprintCarHOF.com. That's www.SprintCarHOF.com. Speaking of this weekend, and it starts tonight, Cherokee Speedway prelude to the World Finals. They've got a Mid-Atlantic Super Late Model race and 410 sprint cars. They're paying like $7,500 to win. And like I said, they released 9 or 10 names, and you know Eric Riggins from here in Charlotte, but Sunshine's on the list. Hunter Schoenberg's on the list. Should be good. Should be good.
What's the slogan again? You haven't mentioned it.
The place your mama warned
you
about.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I never mentioned that at all.
Yeah, you forgot that earlier.
Exactly. this race 2 years ago, Brett Marks, in his first Murray Marks Motorsports ride, won the race.
I remember that.
They debuted the team in this race.
Yep.
So they wanted to shake the bugs out of the car before they went over to the World Finals. So we'll see what happens. And then all dirt roads lead to Charlotte. World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, World of Outlaw Case Construction Late Models, Super Dirt Car Series Big Block Modifieds at the dirt track. Wednesday night, Aaron, they're doing just qualifying.
Yep, for all three divisions. So they qualify for Thursday, Friday night shows. So Wednesday is just all qualifying.
All qualifying. And then Thursday and Friday are complete shows. And then they will line up Saturday on the basis of the results of the complete shows.
Yes.
Like a point system or something like that. Do you think Brad's going to hang on to this thing?
I mean, I feel like something big's going to have to happen again, whether it's, 50 points is a lot for him to gain, especially for gravel to gain with the consistency Brad's shown all year.
With consistency Brad's shown the last half decade.
Yeah, I was just going to say last 5 years. I don't know. I mean, I love Brad, but it would, it's always neat to see a little bit of a battle.
Yeah, it would be good to see a battle. That's for sure. Brad is going for his fifth championship. Gravel, it would be his first. We mentioned the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. There's a charity auction on Saturday afternoon, and the proceeds are split between the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, the Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame, and the Dirt Car Northeast Museum up in Weedsport, New York. So, going
to
be fun.
That's always fun. Have you gone to that one under the pavilion?
I have not.
Yeah.
I have not.
They do a good job. There's a lot of neat things that they usually auction off.
I'm sure there is.
Souvenirs and wing panels and you name it.
Yeah. That's down at the pavilion, ZMAX Dragway Pavilion. By Saturday, the weather is supposed to be a little bit warmer. It's cold.
It's going to be.
They've moved the start times. You need to follow along with Charlotte Motor Speedway, the dirt track, or World of Outlaws, because they've just this morning moved the start times on everything up earlier.
Every year in Charlotte, it gets cold this week. Like it just in time for the World Finals.
Yeah, because Ashley was down here for the World Short Track Championships. It was 80 degrees.
Yeah, it was 85 yesterday. And
today
it's
beautiful.
50, and it's going to be 25 on Thursday.
Yeah. So early starts, pack your parka, and make sure you enjoy a good time here in Charlotte. Out on the West Coast, the NARC King of the West Series. It is the season finale, the 40th tribute to GP, Gary Patterson, at the Stockton Dirt Track. And Corey Day, I think Dominic says he should wrap it up Saturday night. Yeah. He has a pretty comfortable lead. But I know they're going for that 10th win, which would be the modern era of NARC started in 2000. And so if he were to win his 10th race, that would break the record that Tyler Walker had in 2008, 2009, something like that. So we'll see what happens. Corey Day. Good stuff. Good times. Mm-hmm.
Good times, all of course.
So you're off to school now.
Yep, I'm off to the second grade.
Second grade Halloween party.
And on Thursday in second grade, I'm going in to talk about my racing career.
Really?
The teacher asked me, and I'm like, oh boy, I got to remember. It's been so long.
Wow.
And then
cool.
My daughter said yesterday in the car, hey, Mom, can you just tell me what you're going to say when you get there? Because I kind of know what second graders like to hear, and I'm a little nervous that you're not going to do a good job.
She
said, why don't you practice? I said, kid, I haven't even thought about what I'm going to say. I'm going to bring y'all a little sprint car, and you can be happy, and I'll bring a fire suit. I said, I'll even wear my fire suit. And she said, no, that's not a good idea. Yeah, tough crowd.
I guess so, yeah. You are going to be with a tough crowd. Wow.
Yeah. Who knew second graders could be so intimidating?
Well, you know, mom's got to represent the family while your kid's
so
got
funny.
A reputation.
When I ever said, I'll wear my fire suit, that'll be cool. Like, kids won't, you know, expect that. She's like, oh, no.
Kate's got a reputation here you got to protect.
Yeah, seriously. I am not the cool mom anymore, apparently.
Oh, apparently that day is out the window. Exactly. Oh, well, don't worry. 20, 25 years, you'll get there.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Yeah, welcome to life. Right? Yeah. Oh, gosh. It is good. Good times. Well, it sounds like a great week. Are you going to be able to make it out to the dirt track at all or
not? I'm going to try to go Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be able to get out there Wednesday for qualifying. We leave Thursday for Homestead. For,
old school.
Yes,
here.
Old school for Phoenix. Exactly. How about, though, the final four?
Yeah.
Three of the four are sprint car families, royalty, with Blaney getting in there, with Christopher Bell, with Kyle Larson, and William Byron's just awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a year that any one of them is a good story.
Yeah, they really are.
Kyle, yes, he has won one already, but still, they're all good stories.
Ryan was great in Victory Lane. I had Victory Lane up in Martinsville, and I asked about winning the clock because he'd been close a couple times before, and he shared that this was his home track. They grew up in the Greensboro area, the Blaneys did, so they were closer to Martinsville than they were to Charlotte. And Ryan always said, this was the closest track to home. This is the most special track for me. And his mom and dad were there.
Yeah, and Uncle Dale was there. I saw a picture of
him. Uncle Dale? Oh, I missed that.
There was a Victory Lane picture of him. Yeah.
Uncle Dale in Victory Lane. So it was good to see. I love the Blaney family. They are cool. And young Ryan, RYB, young Ryan Blaney, going to go for that championship. So the beard thing.
Yeah, yeah. Threw me off a little bit.
The guy, I'm way off the reservation here. But the guy who does NASCARCASM,
yeah.
NASCAR, he's hysterical. He's great. And he do these fake text messages that he gets.
Yeah.
And the one from Ryan Blaney was a fake text message from Roger Penske to Ryan. Roger's not necessarily a fan of facial hair.
Yeah.
And so, but Ryan has this beard, and he says, are you going to shave the beard? And Ryan said, no, not until after Phoenix. And NASCARCASM said, you look like a Civil War general with sponsorship. So it's like, oh, gosh, it's going to be fun stuff. Fun stuff as we wrap up the season. And next week here on the program, Brian Carter is going to join us.
Yep.
Our annual State of the Sport session with Brian. And I don't know if there's anything else in the sprint car world to talk about, but we'll get into that with Brian next week. This week on our Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit Television Program, Dominic Selzy. Again, I'm off the reservation. I know we're late here. You got to get to your party. But Ashley and I are talking about this. I said, I don't even know what's going on with High Limits, World of Outlaws, and I'm already exhausted by it. Because it's all speculation.
Yeah.
I said, let's dial up somebody that we could just laugh and tell stories with. Dominic Selzy.
Done. Sold.
Mission accomplished. We covered everything from trick-or-treating as Danny Smith, to pets, to the International House of Women, to he's involved in a wheel business, to old fat guys in T-shirts.
Oh, all
yes,
right.
Yes, we covered it all.
Guess so.
With Dominic Selzy. That is Wednesday night on Rev, Friday afternoon on MAV TV. You can get Wing Nation gear at shopwingnation.com. That's www.shopwingnation.com. She is Erin Evernham. I am Steve Post. Easy for me to say. We appreciate Kyle Reinhart and Sammy Swindell joining us. More important than all of that, though, thank you for joining us this time on Wing Nation. We'll be right back.
This NASCAR season, Toyota Racing isn't looking for just anyone to join the team. No, we're looking for bankers, the ones who are open on Sundays.
So if you live for the gravity-defying 31-degree banks like this one on Turn 4 at Daytona,
then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.